Mini episode 330 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 330. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, once again, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking down NFL Week 8. And Kyle, with this being mini episode number 330, it's safe to say neither one of us is LeBron James, but here we are repping the 330.
Yes. One can only aspire to be, you know, have the fortitude, the class, and the dignity of one LeBron James. I'll tell you what, every day I try. Every day I try. You know, we are all witnesses. I'll tell you what, NBA season starting next week, by the way, Ricky. I'm getting very excited.
Every day he tries my patience as well.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, it's not just that he's a great player. He's just a great person as well. I think that's what people keep in mind.
I hope your picks are as good as your trolling, Kyle, because you're off to a
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty good, too. I mean, there's probably, I can imagine there's people punching their computer. Hey, Romy, I spit Mountain Dew all over my computer while listening to this idiot troll. While listening to this idiot, oh, yes, LeBron James. Yeah, so.
What am I hearing this week? 636-8686.
Yeah.
Talk to me, clones.
Yeah. I'm ready this week, though. We've got a pretty ugly set of games. I'll tell you what, we talked earlier in the week, and this is about as unattractive a slate as the NFL has had in recent weeks. You know, I don't know what it looks like next week. I know the, you know, for those who follow college football, I know the college football slate next week is nothing short of fantastic. And I was kind of wondering, I was like, oh, that'd probably be a better week for the NFL to have an off week. But oops, I looked at, you know, I remember looking last Sunday, I was like, God, none of these games jump out at me at all. I really grinded hard the last couple days to find some things. There's nothing I really love, but there's a few I've uncovered that I definitely like, and we'll see what we can do here. 2-2 last week is for me, still treading above water by one game, and you're kind of on your comeback, as we knew you would be, of course.
I am. I'd love to sit here and brag about consecutive weeks of 10 wins, but frankly, it's nothing more than regression theory, because I started with a first 5 weeks as fugly as you will ever see. Last week, 10-5 on all the games, 3-0 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. For the year, after consecutive 10-win weeks, I am still well below 500, 48-54-6, 6-15 on the big three, 2-5 on the locks. So it is getting better. It is trending in the right direction. It's going the way we want it to go. I think for both of us here, it's going to be going in the right direction again this week. But you're right. Aesthetically, I'll take it a step further. One of the ugliest slates we've seen in recent years. If you're not watching for your team or for fantasy purposes or for gambling purposes, why in God's name would you watch almost any of these games this week? It is just an objectively unattractive slate.
Yeah, I can't wait till you break down, as you always do so eloquently every week, the announcing assignments every week, because I want to know what, well, I suppose the Detroit-Dallas game, just because Dallas is involved, is going to get top billing from Fox. As far as the AFC game, though, I don't know what the heck, unless there's one I'm missing. I don't know, maybe it's like Cincy Jets or you know, Jim Nance just wants to stay in New England and do the Patriots game. I don't know what the heck gets top billing over in the AFC.
Yes. When in doubt, put Nance and Sims in Foxborough. That's what they're doing. So I think that's all there is to that theory.
When in doubt, put Phil Sims on mute, too, by the way.
don't forget that part of the equation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not that guy who, like, you know, sits on his computer and just, like, oh, I can do such a better job than this national commentator. But good Lord, it's Phil Simms. It's almost unlistenable.
You're not going to qualify for the all-iron team with comments like that, Kyle.
No, no, I'm going to keep trying. I think that's my third anti-Sims remark this year, too, by the way. I think I think you've been tracking my all-iron, my shot at being on the all-iron team all year, and it just diminishes every week.
Yeah, exactly. That trend line is going straight down, which is exactly the opposite of the way that my picks and my success have been going over the last 2 weeks here. So let's
very
hope for another great
nice.
Week here for both of us. As always, the Thursday night game, we don't have this up in time, but you can check, as always, the FDH Lounge pick on Twitter, at the FDH Lounge. It is Carolina at Tampa Bay. Carolina laying a touchdown. They've been laying that pretty much throughout the course of the week with a little bit of a blip up or down either way. And looking at this, under the circumstances, again, I take a backseat to nobody in my disdain for Greg Schiano. I've been needling a good friend of the FDH Lounge and fellow member of the 21st Century Media Alliance, Jeff Briscoe, on Facebook about his refusal to surrender to the inevitable that Greg Schiano is just a chode at the NFL level. Having said that, again, under the circumstances, it's too late to play for anything for this year. Thursday night games are sloppy enough as it is. I talk about these bad teams and their ability to sort of do the old penis punch cover, sneak in through the back door. I wouldn't rule out that they win this one outright if it's an ugly enough 9-6 type game, but I do like the points with Tampa Bay in any instance.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, obviously by the time everyone listens to this, the game will be over and they can, you know, either laud us for how right we were or make fun of us for how wrong we were. But I wanted to ask you something. I sent you over the Vegas Power Rankings midweek. As you
yes,
know.
Thank you. Very
how
informative.
Yes. How surprised were you that Carolina was number 8 in those on a scale of 1 to 10?
Fittingly, I'd say about an 8. I was surprised. That was one of the biggest ones. It's funny that you asked me that, and we didn't coordinate on this. I love that we don't on a lot of these points here because it allows for an honest response. The fact that you're asking me about that is sensational because that is one of the ones that jumped out at me. I was like, whoa, I did not expect to see that.
Well, it's interesting when you look at them. And, you know, I've kind of been a bigger fan of Carolina than most, I think, the last 2 years. At least I tried to be in spite of Ron Rivera. Who, you know, I mean, you talk about bad coaches. I mean, it's amazing that Rivera's not even the worst coach in the division, let alone the league anymore, thanks to Schiano, who I totally agree with, is coaching for his job. I'll touch on that here in a second, too. But, you know, Carolina has a really nice point differential, and they've looked really good in back-to-back weeks. It's amazing that Cam Newton is able to play as well as he does with no receivers. I mean, you talk about one of the worst receiving corps in the league. You got to talk about Carolina. They've got Steve Smith, who's probably got grandchildren at this point, and then, you know, there's Brandon Bell. he's media. He should not be he would not start on any good team, Brandon LaFell. And then there's, of course, your boy Ted Ginn, who somehow still brought a paycheck after all these years. But I'm going to agree with you on this game. Tampa Bay, winless. If they can't show up to play here, I would wonder, Rick Morris, that with a few extra days between games, if Tampa Bay were not to, say, cover this spread and maybe lose badly, would Greg Schiano get fired after this game? Look into your crystal ball.
I think so, because it's looking like that may very well happen.
An ugly national TV loss at home, I think there's a better than 50% chance he might be gone. So I'm going to say the Bucs definitely show up early here, and I think they're going to be able to stay on the number. Interesting, don't forget, Carolina's horrible record, and this has kind of been their bugaboo the last couple of years with Rivera's coach, Newton at quarterback. They're only 2-14 in games decided by 7 points or less. When they win, they do typically win big. I could see that bad record improving here. Carolina wins close, but a slight lean to Tampa Bay with the points here. So, yeah, I agree.
We agree on that one. Next up, we go to the foreign shores of London. It's the 5-2 49ers at the 0-7 Jags. It is just hysterical that the Jaguars have faced as many games as they have this season. Teams like San Francisco, Seattle, Denver, where they are just overwhelming dogs. In this one, they're getting 16, and they had been 17.5 at the open. And this is one, in looking at it, you and I talked a little bit about this one off air earlier in the week, and it didn't take much persuading to come around to your point of view, that with the kind of offense that San Francisco plays, and the fact that the vertical game is not a huge part of what they're able to do, both because of Colin Kaepernick's pace of development and the fact that they don't have too many guys who can break it on a regular basis. They're not the type of team, style-wise, that threatens to blow you off the field anyways. I have no doubt whatsoever they're winning this game, but I would lean towards the Jags and take the 16 just as far as the line goes.
I have nothing really to add to this, except that the first of my recommended plays this week is going to be Jacksonville plus the points. It's very
wow.
similar rationale to – I don't like that the numbers come down, by the way, from 17.5. You know, when the number is coming down on Jacksonville, it makes you a little scared. But it's just like the Denver game. It's too many points. It's, you know, kind of foreign territory. Well, literally it's foreign territory for the 49ers playing over in London. I know that the first game in Wembley this year, the Steelers-Vikings game was kind of a wild back-and-forth affair. I think it was 34-27 in the final. I just see this kind of being a low-scoring game, and the 49ers doing what it takes to win. They're not going to be interested in winning by the margin the odds makers are calling for. And, I think they've won and covered their last four games, so they might be kind of just due for a little bit of a lethargic win, and that's why I'm taking Jacksonville plus the points there.
That makes plenty of sense. We go from London, coincidentally, to another foreign area, this time in the third world. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's Detroit, Michigan. It's the 4-3 Dallas Cowboys at the 4-3 Detroit Lions. Dick Stockton, Brian Billick, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the call for Fox at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Detroit laying 3 in this one. It's been pretty much a steady 3 through the course of the week. This is one where no matter who you talk to, they're pretty much expecting a shootout. Looking at the respective offenses and defenses with the two teams. I'm going to make it actually 3 in a row now of going on the dog, because here's my rationale in looking at this, that I certainly feel like at this point in time, Dallas has more of a smorgasbord of weapons out there. Detroit with a banged-up Megatron, they don't have as much going for them. They don't have as much depth at wide receiver and tight end as Dallas does. I see Romo having an easier time spreading her around than I do Matt Stafford, and I think that'll make the difference. So I do like Dallas getting the 3.
I'm laying off this one. It's a good number. Vegas has these teams obviously rated about even. That is true. If you look at the Vegas power rankings, they do have them rated about even, and the Lions are laying the requisite points for just home field advantage. The only reason I would disagree with you is Detroit's the more desperate team here. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, obviously, you know, there's never a team that's like, we really don't care if we win this week. But Detroit, I mean, they're off a home loss, a tough one at that, against Cincinnati last week. That was a great pick by you last week, too, taking Bengals in the points. But I realize it's kind of a similar line this week against Dallas. I don't think Dallas is as good as Cincinnati, though. They certainly can't play the same brand of defense. And the Cowboys are off. You know, I was shocked, as anyone, you know, about that Eagles. Well, I think the Eagles, we're going to talk about them maybe next or in the next two games. And I was stunned that the Cowboys went in there last week and did what they did to the Eagles. Not because the Eagles are any kind of great team, but I just expected the Eagles, who haven't won a home game now in over a year, to just play much better. Nick Foles, clearly not the answer. And you talk about expecting a shootout here. A lot of people did last week, and, you know, the Dallas defense showed up in a 17-3 win. But, you know, you have a team off a home loss, a team off a road win. Detroit also probably just needs this game more. You talk about the desperation, because they're in the tougher division. Chicago's probably going to take a step back over the next month without Cutler. But Green Bay is clearly hitting their stride despite the injuries. And Dallas kind of has the game in their hip pocket, obviously, now against the Eagles, who are the only contender in that division that they have to deal with. Washington and the Giants, I know they both won last week, but I don't consider them contenders. And so Detroit just needs the game more. But that said, you brought up some great points with Dallas, and I'm laying off.
Those are all very interesting points that you make there. And again, that is absolutely the case. Detroit would be the best team in the NFC East if they were in there in place of Dallas, because that is the worst division in football. Yeah. So with identical
spoiler
records,
alert too.
Yeah.
I was going to say spoiler alert, Ricky. We're going to be doing a mid-season review next week here for all the spoiler alert for all the listeners. Obviously, we knew this. And it's going to give us a chance to do some mea culpas on some of our playoff picks and stuff. before that we made before the season. You know, interestingly enough, I'm kind of holding tight on most of mine. I think you will be too. But one of the big things we're going to focus in on, or at least I want to focus in on, because I have not told you what I have planned for this program yet, is kind of who's going to be that last playoff team in each conference. In the AFC, it's really up for grabs. And then in the NFC right now, I would say the two contenders, the two most likely contenders we've talked about here already, Carolina and Detroit, I think, are two teams that you got to look at maybe for that final wild card, assuming, you know, both Seattle and San Francisco get in from the West. So this is a game, again, that the Lions really need to have if they're going to make
it. They're teams that are on the periphery. Two teams that are not are meeting at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday, the 1-6 Giants at the 3-4 Eagles. Eagles still in the mix to win the division, but they can kiss any chance of a wild card goodbye. No question about that. Four-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa. And in this game, Philadelphia is laying 4.5 points, had been 5.5 at the outset here, so the line has dropped over the course of the week, which makes me a little bit nervous about the direction that I'm going here. But this is one where if I were one to lay off of games, this would be one of the ultimate layoff games that I've seen in quite some time when you look at these two teams and the inconsistency. Again, it says something to say that the Giants are inconsistent when they're 1-6, but they've done some things, especially offensively, quite well, even in some of their losses. They've also had a lot of turnovers in those losses and played just like absolute excrement on defense in a great number of them. Very difficult to get a handle on where both of these teams are at the moment. Looks like Michael Vick is going to be starting again for Philadelphia. I think they can win this game, but believe it or not, I'm going to make it 4 in a row taking the points. I'm not much of a dog guy, as you know, but I'll take the Giants for my 4th 1 in a row here, taking the points with the 4.5.
Wow. In that case, you're about ready to be even more surprised, because my 2nd recommended play of the week is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh.
Now,
okay.
Remember what I said last week about Nick Foles perhaps being the better option at quarterback than Mike Vick? Remember when I said that?
Well, it was reasonable at the time, but then we saw last
Sunday.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it may have been reasonable at the time, but what I'm going to say now is go ahead and forget all that stuff. I was wrong. Because he just didn't look very good at all. And despite the fact that he can get the ball out quicker and is probably the better decision maker and he turns it over less, the running dynamic that Nick brings can't be understated. It's clearly what makes this offense go. This is the number one rushing team in the league. And I go back to the fact that the Eagles are now, going back to last year, I believe they won their first 2 home games of last year, but they are now 0-10 against the spread their last 10 home games. What, are they going to not cover every home game? I'm going back to that. The Giants, they won last week, but it's a short week, and there really were no winners Monday night, except us. You and I gave out the Giants as a recommended play, but that was a horrible game that I think Minnesota lost more than the Giants won. And Minnesota Josh Freeman was not ready to play, and you can't win a professional football game with a quarterback that bad, so I'm not ready to toot the Giants' horn by any means. I think the Eagles, who, by the way, have done a good job at beating all the bad teams on their schedule. Their 3 wins this year are Tampa Bay, Washington, and somebody else that stinks. Hold on 1 second. Somebody else that stinks. It is Tampa Bay. It's the Giants. They beat the Giants earlier in the year. So this would be go for the clean sweep. And, I think the Eagles sweep the Giants and move to 4-4.
The only thing that gives me any pause about your theory about Philadelphia at home, it seems strikingly similar to a time some years back, my best friend and I going up to the old casino, playing his theory of red, black on roulette. When you see it go, say red a bunch of times in a row, bet black when it loses, double down, when it loses, double down again, when it loses, double down again. That was a very costly day at the office for me. So, that's really just me getting pause.
Yeah, I hear you. But, 10 losses against the spread in a row at home is pretty uncharted territory in this league. And, with Vic back, like I said, short week for the Giants. I wasn't impressed by that. Were you impressed? I mean, you gave them out. You won with them, as did I last week. But I wasn't impressed with anything they did. I mean, Minnesota, I mean, Josh Freeman made Brandon Weeden look like, you know, Dan Marino by comparison last week. He was horrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear you on that. Two teams that most definitively do not have the likes of Dan Marino suiting up for them. In our next game here, it is Cleveland at Kansas City. Kansas City was laying 9.5 at the beginning of the week and down to 7.5 as we speak presently. And in looking at this one here, the key thing for me, and I think this may be the reason that the line has dropped as it has, particularly if it's the public that's influencing it, Brandon Weeden, the worst quarterback in the league, not suiting up for the Jacksonville Jaguars, will be holding the clipboard this week, as he should be for the rest of his hopefully short-lived career. Jason Campbell taking the reins for the Browns. Jason Campbell, not exciting. He's basically your replacement caliber quarterback here. But the fact that he's not an acceptable floor is the thing that gives the Browns any hope whatsoever. Not that they can necessarily win these games, but a game manager far better than Brandon Weeden, as we've seen over the course of the last 2 weeks. Little nervous that the number has come down, but I'm going to make it 5 in a row of taking the points here. I like the Browns. I like the Brownies to sneak inside the 7.5. Don't think they can win on the road, but hey, if it gets to be a battle of field goals, now granted the Browns' field goal kicking game is a mess, so maybe my theory there is wrong, but I don't rule out that they could win outright as much as everybody is valuing Kansas City right now. And I certainly think, much like we saw last week with Houston, you get a game manager in there against Kansas City, and it's possible they might be overvalued with the points at home. I was right about that last week. Going to take the points again. 5 dogs in a row now for me. Take the Brownies in the 7.5.
I would be more inclined to recommend the Browns this week if the number hadn't come down. That scares me a little bit, especially with Kansas. I mean, but you said all that needs to be said about Cleveland. Let's talk about Kansas City. This is not the best team in football, okay? I mean, I'm not going to call anyone's names out that have a number one in their power rankings, okay? But that's just lazy, just because of the only undefeated team. But this is not the best team in football. When they play Denver in a couple weeks, they will be a significant dog. They'd be a significant dog against a team like Seattle or even San Francisco or Green Bay or New Orleans. This is not the best team in football. Now, it's a good team. I think in my power rankings I have them number 5, but you finally
that's about where I got them.
As soon as I did that, I had this horrible moment. I remember you sent me your power rankings. I looked at them real quick, and then I had this horrible moment. I was like, oh God, Ricky didn't have a number 1.
Oh no.
And then, okay, good.
We think way too much alike for that to ever be the case. I got them in about the same spot that you do. I got them 5, actually.
Yeah, I have them number 5, they're 5. But here's the thing. This is going to be a low-scoring game. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Every Kansas City game this year has been low-scoring. And the only thing that scares me, though, here's another thing that scares you for Cleveland in terms of the value. They're getting the same number Houston did last week. And as bad as Houston looked this year, Houston's still better than Cleveland. So I think some of the value's been gone. I can see this one falling right around the number. I would not be surprised, honestly, if Kansas City won this game by a touchdown, something like 21-14.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably right about in that ballpark there as well. Next up, this is a very interesting one. The 3-4 Bills at the 5-1 Saints. That is, of course, taking place at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Greg Dumble, Dan Beardorf will be calling that one, 1 o'clock Eastern time on CBS. The Saints are laying in this game 10.5, had been 12.5 at the outset. So the number is kind of tumbling down a little bit. The Bills with a big win on the road last week. And in looking at this year, believe it or not, and again, this is probably an unprecedented stretch, just like my earlier season.
Wow, I love it.
6 dogs in a row. You know how averse I am to dogs generally, by and large. I mean, probably somewhere around 3/5 to 2/3 of my picks in a given week probably are more likely to be favorites, much like the rest of the public. I'm on the dog again in this one here. I don't think Buffalo can win this one outright, but the Saints, especially with a banged-up Jimmy Graham, You got Lance Moore, who hasn't been right for weeks. They're supposed to get Mark Ingram back, but I'm going to say it right now. So what? I don't see that really mattering very much.
How is he still on that team? He's not good at all.
No, he's not. And I was joking about this with another one of the guys in the crew earlier today. I have on both of my fantasy teams Darren Sproles. Neither of my leagues is a flex league, but I've nicknamed him One Man Flex League because you start him at running back, and almost everything he gives you is basically wide receiver-type statistics there. As long as they have a Darren Sproles, they don't really need a whole lot from their other running backs because he helps them out in the ways that the Sean Payton offense dictates, essentially. But I think the Saints are going to win this one, and I only am going out on the big limb and saying that, but I could see Buffalo just sliding in. I think that back door is open. I like the Bills in the 10.5.
Yeah, you know, a couple things keep me from recommending this. One, like the Browns in the last game, I think the value's gone with the number coming down.
Mm-hmm.
A couple points. But the Bills just seem to be that team, Ricky, and, you know, maybe you'll disagree, that they're going to be the bad team that covers a lot this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent you those Vegas power rankings. They're real low on the list. But, you know, you and I gave them out as kind of a soft recommendation. I mean, they didn't make our big three either, but we both kind of agree we like them plus the points against Miami. I didn't have them winning outright, truth be told. I thought they'd lose a close one. Definitely don't see them winning outright here. And really, the only other thing besides the number coming down that keeps me from going on Buffalo, recommending Buffalo here, I should say, is the fact that this game is in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Saints off a bye, too. You know, which always, you know, it's kind of an overrated handicapping act. And teams, you know, people think teams do great off the bye. They don't do as good as you think. I will say, though, that most $50 bettors and their mothers would take the Saints in this game. So I don't want to be one of those people. Do you like the Saints as a survivor pick, though, I think. If you're in one of those survivor pools, I think the Saints would be a good survivor play. So don't forget, they lost their last game. That heartbreaker against New England. So I do expect they win, but I'm like you. I think the Saints win, but not by the margin the odds makers are calling for. The Bills will be able to hang around. I don't know how, but they will.
They will be able to hang around. This thing about teams doing well off of a bye, unfortunately, the Miami Dolphins, who, as I've said before on the show, my 1A team that I root for behind the Cleveland Browns, disproving that theorem last week and laying an egg against Buffalo and dumping that one. They are on the road this week at New England. The Pats are laying 7. I'm sorry, now it's 6.5. This just in. It had opened at 7.5. So the number is kind of coming down a little bit, which, again, I've said that for a couple of my picks thus far, and that should make me kind of queasy going in that direction. But the streak extends to 7 here as far as dogs go. I think New England, they're still working Gronkowski back into the offense. They still don't have a fully healthy Danny Amendola. It's a little bit of a adjustment time for them offensively. This is not a very good team for a 5-2 record. I think they'll win the game, but especially after the egg they laid against the Jets last week, lucky call or no, they shouldn't have been in position to lose that game. Dolphins can win this. Don't think they will, but I think they'll cover. I like Miami in the 6.5.
I would give the Dolphins almost no chance of winning this game. Also, there's two other things that concern me here if you're going to take Miami. One is that the number's gone from 7.5 to 6.5. That is a very key move. As you know, Rick Morris, in Vegas, I would expect the very same. I would expect this is weird, but, you know, people love, you know, taking the dog. Obviously, the same people who love taking dogs at 7.5, a lot of times will then buy back the favorite at minus 6.5.
Right.
The game lands in the middle at 7, and they win on both ends. So I expect that number to go back up to 7 by kickoff, first of all. Speaking of 7, the Miami Dolphins have been outgaining all 7 games this season. That 3-0 start was obviously a complete mirage. We talked about over on the NFC side who's going to be that, you know, 6th playoff team a little bit. Next week we can debate the merits of Carolina and Detroit and, you know, some other teams as well, depending on what happens this week. Miami is a team whose stock is just plummeting in that department for me. You know, in 3-0, obviously everyone would be like, oh, you know, the Dolphins are going to be back. They'll be in the playoffs. I'm not so sure, even as muddled as that picture is, that the Dolphins make it. They've already had a bad loss to Baltimore that'll probably hurt them down the stretch. You brought up coming on a bye, losing outright to Buffalo. Tannehill, oh, by the way, not that great. You know, he's Definitely better than Brandon Whedon, but he ain't in the same league as Wilson and obviously Andrew Luck, the other guys who went last year, and he's certainly no RG3, whether RG3's injured or not either. So I'm laying off this one completely. I'm not even giving out a soft recommendation. This one, you know, Belichick off a loss, that is a solid handicapping axiom right there. And like I said, Miami's yet to outgain an opponent this year, which is not a good sign.
You're a smart man to stay away from that one, Kyle Ross. Next off, the 2-4 Steelers at the 2-4 Raiders. This one opened up with a good old Pittsburgh laying 3 on the road. We are down to them laying 2 at this point. And again, it's funny because they've laid a couple of eggs in Oakland over the last couple of years in situations like this. But rarely have they started as poorly as they have this year. They've always had sort of the margin of error to dump one to Oakland and still be in it the week after. They don't this year. That's what's missing. They have an improved run game over the last couple of weeks, obviously, with Le'Veon Bell being available. I'll take Pittsburgh laying the 2 on the road. My streak of taking dogs comes to an end.
Road favorite, Rick, your turn. As much as I want to take Oakland here, I can't. You know, I just listened to the great Greg Cosell, who I know you're a fan of as well.
Yes,
Rick Morris.
He's awesome.
I listened to him talk about what he saw on tape from Pittsburgh last week. He was pretty impressed. He's certainly better at watching tape than I am. I mean, never mind the fact that he gets the All-22 tape and I don't. But so he should be, but here's the thing, though. It's funny because – and we're going to talk about Atlanta later on, but Pittsburgh and Atlanta, there's some similarities. That they started so poorly and underperformed our expectations by so much. I think we went too far the other way and have written them off completely. And I think that, you brought up the eggs that Pittsburgh has laid in Oakland. They lost here last year. I think they failed to cover their last 6 games out on the West Coast. So that's the reason right there that I'm not taking Pittsburgh. But it's kind of funny with Oakland. I've mentioned this before. They almost are kind of like overrated, I think, because coming into the year, everyone thought they were going to be the worst team. And Jacksonville is obviously it didn't take long for them to unseat that unceremonious honor. That I think we've kind of forgotten just what a bad roster the Raiders have. So I can't really endorse, especially now that the number's coming down. I mean, if I was getting 3 or 3.5, I would debate recommending them, but they're not. So I'm laying away from this game.
Okay, still 2 more to go till we hit my big 3 to close with. The Sunday night game, Green Bay, favored pretty decently on the road here, favored by 8, had been 10.5 at the open at Minnesota, which, of course, puts it at Mall of America Field, formerly the Triple H Metrodome. And, again, this is, we saw Monday night everything that Josh Freeman is capable of doing, getting thrust into this Minnesota offense at this point in time. The Vikings have had luck establishing the run with the great Adrian Peterson against Green Bay over a period of time. That would, of course, be the case for a cover, but I don't see it. Even with a depleted receiving core, I think Green Bay goes in, and I don't know about beats them by 20. It may be a little bit closer to the number than some may say, but I do like Green Bay laying the 8.
Road favorite, Ricky. I'll tell you what, you just been taking all the road teams. It went from just taking underdogs, now you're just taking the road team every week, it seems.
I have almost all the road teams as I'm looking at this. Yeah.
Well, you know, home teams have struggled, I think, the last 2 weeks, if you look at it. I could be mistaken there, I'm sure. You know, someone
I'm buying low on road teams.
yes, I'm sure someone will fact check in that. But I'm going to surprise you here. I have to give out a third play. I said it was an ugly card this week. And I'm going to give out a third here, but it's going to come with an asterisk, all right? Because obviously it's been Sunday. We're doing this a couple days out. I'm going to say take the Vikings plus the points. I know the numbers come down a little bit, but still take them plus points. And here's something I never thought I'd say. Provided Christian Ponder plays.
Okay.
My follow-up to that would be, did you see Freeman last week? He's awful. I mean, he's lost. He's not good. Christian Ponder, not an all-pro. I mean, look, it's very obvious in a quarterback-rich draft next April, the Minnesota Vikings will be picking high and taking one. You know, they're probably – the way they're I mean, Jacksonville and Tampa Bay right now are ahead of them, but, you know, Minnesota could be the third team to take a quarterback. So, you know, they're going to probably take whoever the best guy is that's not Bridgewater or Mariota at this point, you'd
right.
say. But Green Bay, like, is Aaron Rodgers going to throw the ball to himself? I mean, who does he have to throw to anymore? I mean, Jermarco Finley's down, which, you know, makes my receiving group even worse. My horrid fantasy. And by the way, Ricky, I got to go through this with you. I have the worst fantasy team this year I may have ever had. It's awful. It's just awful, my fantasy team. I haven't scored more than 70 points since week one in a game, and we have a pretty generous scoring league. I mean, it's awful. So, you know, the Minnesota Vikings are awful as well. But home dog, Sunday night, you know, everyone's mocking them after Monday. They're not going to win, but I see them sneaking in the number here. It's a division game. They should be fired up. You know, Green Bay, like I said, I mean, they're as injured as anybody right now. And Aaron Rodgers is great. It's very similar to the New England situation, actually, with Green Bay.
Right, great quarterback.
Well, you got the great quarterback, and he's got really no one good to throw to. So,
you got take the point James Jones should. James Jones should be back this week. Jordy Nelson is the guy who is the mainstay with everybody else dropping. Jared Boykin coming in and getting a good job done last week. Part of it is, too, you look at it, who were any of these guys really before getting there with Aaron Rodgers? They just sort of developed
exactly.
these guys in the system, which is the same thing Greg Jennings is finding out on the other side of the field. Now, how much of it is dependent on the quarterback? One more game to get to before the big three. It's the Monday night game. 6-1 Seattle at 3-4 St. Louis. The Seahawks are laying 11 in this one. Pretty much been about a straight 11 all week. A few variations here and there. Again, you noticed a theme that I hadn't, which is that I'm going mostly on road teams this week, which means another road favorite for me. I think they're going to lay it to St. Louis on Monday night. I think it's a bad, even though it's at home. It's a bad spot for Kellen Clemens to get in, come in and get this first start, and I think it could get ugly. I really, really do. I think for as good as Seattle's been at establishing the run game, they could just be pounding it up and down the field all night long, and I think they will. I like laying the 11.
Okay. First off, little words of wisdom to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Or just some goodwill I'd like to express to them, I should say.
Okay.
I hope you do well on Sunday, you're betting. I'm going to tell you why. God bless you if you need this game as a chaser. I think emblematic of the week as a whole, have you ever, you know, the dictator Roger Goodell's got 3 primetime games now every week, okay? He's putting guns to people's heads. I think if you look in those My Football Story commercials, you can always see him in the shadows pointing a gun to all those people's heads. Like, you will tell everyone how much you love football. But by the way, whoever thought Rob Lowe could give a more believable football commercial than LL Cool J, by the way, am I the only one who's noticed that? Probably. But
Rob Lowe didn't say literally one time in that commercial.
No. But here's the thing. How can you play this game? I would never, you know me and my persuasion, I'm never playing
right.
an 11-point road favorite, ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
But keep in mind, Seattle's had a lot of time to prepare here. They didn't play since Thursday, the previous week. St. Louis has Kellen Clemens as their quarterback. Rumor has it they called Brett Favre during the week. If you're going to play this game, I'll go exotic on you this week. I think you'd go with the under, because I don't see how the Rams are scoring any points in this game, like at all. Like, they may get shot.
All right.
So
they may very well.
I know that you know you've got your hard and fast rules. You're going to give out a play in every game regardless. And I can't, honestly, as much as I hate the idea of laying 11 points for the road team, there is just no case to be made on St. Louis except for the fact that maybe Seattle forgets to show up and sleepwalks their way
no
to a
case.
Win. But yeah.
None
so,
whatsoever.
So, yeah. Yeah.
No question about it. All right, we move on to my big three picks for this week. A real winning streak here over the course of the last couple of weeks after the horrid start. Let's hope it keeps going. We've got the 2-4 Falcons at the 3-4 Cardinals. And in this game, Atlanta is getting 2.5 points. It's been a pretty much steady 2.5 through the course of the week. And my favoritism for the road teams sticks around in this one this
wow.
week. I did something last week with Cincinnati that I don't generally do for my big three, which is to go for my New Age Outlaws pick here. My road dog pick, one of my big three, it is going to be Atlanta. I like them getting the 2.5 on the road. Look, I've got Roddy White on one fantasy team, Steven Jackson on another. You don't have to tell me about the offense and the problems that they've had, but I'm going to use the same theory that I did last week to success with the Kansas City-Houston one. What would this line have been at the beginning of the year? Okay? So
yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of too much discrepancy in the number here. I like Atlanta getting the 2.5 because I think they can win this one. They certainly can win this one.
Better team and the points, I agree with you. But I'm laying off. Arizona's not a team I want to go against. Every time I'm willing to write them off, they somehow pull out a win. They're a good second-half team. Atlanta, consequently, is not. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you want to go with the Falcons in the first half here, perhaps.
First half, okay.
Arizona has been a slow-starting team this year, and Atlanta has been a poor finisher. So those confluence of events may lead to a halftime lead for the Falcons. You're probably going to be nervous down the stretch, Ricky.
Probably. We go to the next one here, the 2-4 Redskins at the 6-1 Broncos. Fox is putting the A-team of Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and the delicious Pam Oliver on this game here. Denver in this game is laying 11.5, down from 14 at the outset. This makes this one of the rare games that started this week with a big number where I am going the other way on this. I am taking Denver. I'm a little bit queasy about the points, but I don't think Washington
yeah.
can stop Denver at all. It's a vengeance scenario just because Washington's the next team in Denver's way after that sloppy Sunday night performance. I like Denver laying the 11.5, and I think it could be by a much bigger margin than that by the time it's all said and done. This could be one of these classic 49-26 type games.
See, I think this game's going to be lower scoring than you think, only because of the law of averages. Denver's the only team in the league to go over in every game.
Okay.
I can't lay those points, no way. At the same time, it is very hard to fathom the notion that Washington and that horrible secondary is going to stop Peyton Manning. So I'm laying off this game.
They're not going to do anything against
me. I don't like that game at all. I don't like that game at all. Yeah, everyone, the whole bounce back thing is, everyone's looking at that for the bounce back. I'm not saying you're wrong with it by any means. I think the Broncos win the game straight up. But, I think that the whole, Manning bouncing back thing, everyone's going to buy into that. And I would expect this number to be brought back up.
All right, last up in our remaining about 2 minutes that we have here is the 4-3 Jets at the 5-2 Bengals for my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 8. Cincinnati is laying 6.5 in this one, down from 7 initially, especially with that being the case, and you always talk about how critical it is right around a touchdown there. I think that it's asking too much of Geno Smith and the Jets to go in on the road against a defense like Cincinnati's. I think building off of what they did last week at Detroit, another statement game for the Bengals here as they continue to solidify what would be a hammer lock on the AFC North at 6-2 if they win this game. I like Cincinnati laying the 6.5 as my lock pick for the week.
I like them to win, but I don't like them to cover necessarily. I wouldn't be shocked if they did get the check, but man, have the Jets and Geno Smith surprised this year. I mean, wow. We'll talk about them next week in that midweek or in that midseason report. I mean, it's been a shocker. It's been an absolute shocker what they've been able to do. I mean, they have 4 wins. I mean, most people had them winning like 5 games all year. So they're not even overachiever. Yeah, they're an overachiever. They've been an overachiever, and I like the Bengals a lot more as a dog than as a favorite. And granted, they're not going to be a dog many times going down the stretch. And but laying this many points even at home, I don't know. I will say, and I know that you're big on this, they can rush the quarterback, which is going to give Geno Smith problems.
Exactly. My biggest pick in terms of the matchups for this week, Geno Atkins giving the shocker to Geno Smith repeatedly. I think you're going to see that a lot. on Sunday. So,
oh, my goodness.
Looking for some bounce backs here this week with our picks and some continued momentum going forward. Thanks very much, Kyle. Looking forward to everything next week, my friend.
Talk to you then, Ricky.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.